Hey, yo, who's phone? Who this? It's the mad, chronically ill girl, bitch. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Sonya D. I am the mad, chronically ill girl, and I am finally back with a whole new episode. You guys, I want to thank the ones that stuck by this podcast, and lately I've been quite ill. I have spent the last 2 weeks in pain and agony, and the last five of those in a hospital. And I was just released the day before yesterday. Yeah. So I've been having lots of issues. But I'm slowly getting better. I'm actually doing this from the bed because I'm still very weak. I was on a liquid diet for 8 days. So I've lost a considerable amount of weight. And I'm extremely weak. I mean, a five-year-old could literally push me over right now and I'd probably sit there and beg for mercy. But let's get into today's episode really quickly. I have to pace myself, guys. You know, I'm just coming out of, being so ill for so long. So just, you know, bear with me, guys. I'm doing the best I can. And I thank those of you that continue to support the show. If you want to know how to support us, you can go to Patreon and find us at the Mad Chronically Ill Girl Podcast. Well, we have support channels as low as $1 for you to, you know, get your feet wet. All the way up to about, I believe, like $75 is like our highest package before we get into like corporate. But, yeah, guys. So if that's how you want to support us or you want to send us a note on our Facebook page, you can hit us on Facebook on the Mad Chronically Ill Girl or say hello to me on Twitter. Hi to me on Twitter. And I will be right there. So, yeah. My experience in the hospital was very interesting. I don't know if you guys know this, but I wrote 2 books about 8 or 9 years ago. And they were titled The Diary of a Sick Chick. And in A Diary of a Sick Chick, I spoke about what it was like to be diagnosed the first 2 years surrounding my illness. And now that it's Diary of a Sick Chick year, 10, 11? I honestly can say that while there have been some improvements in my care and treatment, there haven't been much to move the dial with doctors. And I had started to write my 3rd book about health because I started to kind of focus on fiction, but I decided I needed to possibly move to write a 3rd, and I stopped. But my 5-day stint in the hospital has actually been very, it has taught me that this is information that's sorely needed. So I am writing a new book and I'm going to keep you guys posted. And from time to time, I'm going to read you guys a couple of excerpts from the book as it's titled The Patient. I mean, there's so many books out there, guys, that teach you how to be a great doctor. And honestly, as a patient, I know it sounds strange to some of you, but I read those books because I want to know what these doctors are reading. There are books for nurses, but how many books are there for patients? Not many. And how to be a patient. And we're going to kind of get into that a little bit later as the show goes on, of what that means to be a patient with a couple of examples that I've set up here. But it's important that you know how to be a patient. And I know for some it's just as easy as, okay, if you're sick, you're a patient. Well, it's a little deeper than that, okay? So, and as we move along, I just found out that the FDA has announced that people who are immunocompromised, they will be subject to possibly getting a 3rd booster or a 3rd shot or a booster shot, and that will be available in the next 48 hours. And that includes your girl, myself. I am taking immune suppressant drugs, and that is what is causing, you know, some of my issues. So that will qualify me, I guess, for a third booster shot. It says here, the FDA is planning to amend the emergency use authorization orders for the Pfizer Moderna COVID-19 vaccines on Thursday to allow a third dose for certain immunocompromised people who may not have had adequate protection from just two doses. And this is a source confirmed to CBS News. And it says here, a small share of American adults, less than 3%, are estimated to have compromised immune system and often need additional doses of other vaccines to build sufficient immunity against the virus. So when you have people who are cancer, taking drugs like myself, have some type of immune disorder or depression, it's possible that during the first two shots or whatever shot they receive, they may not have gotten the protection that they needed. So that's a good thing. And will I get a third shot? I would get 8 shots to protect me from this new Delta variant that is so destructive. It's so destructive. And I do have some exciting news to share right now. And I converted one. Yes, I actually converted one. And I'm very happy about that today. A friend of mine, we went back and forth. I know some of you guys, I don't know how all of you all feel about vaccination. Honestly, as people who would probably listen to this podcast, I would hope that you are a friend of the vaccine. There are so many myths that people hold, and I was thankfully able to dispel some of her myths. I mean, she would say, well, I read this somewhere and I read this somewhere, and I would know that these things weren't true. And I would ask her to produce it, you know, produce it. Show me where it says that. Let's look at it. But I tried not to be too antagonistic to her, but I wanted to relay to this person the urgency and the foolhardiness of what she was doing by allowing herself to be put at risk for such a dangerous disease that is continuing to mutate right under our noses. And it's just amazing, right? Like how many people will ignore the science. So right now, in some other news, parents in Florida are trying to sue Governor Ron DeSantis over him banning mask mandates for the schools. Now, some say he has stepped too far over and the Florida Constitution doesn't allow him to do some of the things that he's doing. Some, for whatever strange reason, applaud, you know, for freedom. But what he's doing is putting the lives of Floridian children at risk. I mean, come on, guys. Everybody heard the story of Typhoid Mary, right? Like, everybody knows Typhoid Mary walked around in, I believe, the 19th century. Her name was Mary Mallon. And she was an Irish-born cook, and she was believed to have infected 53 people with typhoid fever, and 3 of those people died. Because she was an asymptomatic carrier of the disease, and she herself never got sick, she never quite believed it. And they would tell Mary, look, Mary, girl, you cannot work preparing food for people. So you're going to have to find something else to do, honey, because what you're doing is putting a bunch of people at risk, and you could be killing people. But no matter what they told her, Mary did her own thing, honey, and Mary got people sick. And I believe they locked her up. They put her behind bars because she just would not comply. And she was forcibly quarantined eventually for the final 2 decades of her life, for the last 20 years, and then she died after 30 years in isolation. So we can have discussions about who has this right, who has that right, you know, who has freedom, but, you know, there's sayings that people say, okay, well, your freedom stops at the tip of my nose, right? So, yeah, you're free to do whatever you want. You can swing your arms as, you know, wide as you want in a public space. But the minute you hit me, you don't have the right to injure me. And that's the problem when it comes with health in our communities, because it's not just you. When people say, oh, well, my decision doesn't affect you, it absolutely does affect you. Don't you think if Mary Mallon was alive today and she was in your kitchen cooking food, don't you think you should know? Or someone should be able to tell you? I mean, if you guys can remember and going back towards the early days of AIDS and HIV, you had senators and congress people arguing that we should be quarantining people with AIDS. We should mark them. And all of a sudden now, you know, some of the same people who believed that then don't believe that now. So, you know, things tend to change. I don't understand. Think about it, guys. I mean, would you want your child, imagine your child sitting in a classroom and you know you were told that day one of those kids in that class has a potentially deadly disease, but they're not going to protect your kid from it and your kid has to go to school. But that kid has a disease, so you have to sit next to that child and put your own self at risk. I mean, how is that freedom? And that is at the crux of the case of the parents that are currently suing Ron DeSantis. I happen to agree with the parents of the disabled children, obviously, people. I mean, if I were a kid in school, I mean, my school days are over, but with my health, I mean, me going to school, even wearing masks, the Delta variant is very transmissible. And vaccinated people are getting breakthrough cases with masks on and vaccinated. So I'm just saying, like, why would it be okay for these people to believe that they can just opt out of their children doing any safety precaution? Look, you cannot say, I have a right to the public space, but I'm not going to do anything to keep that space safe and protected. In fact, I'm going to do something that will potentially endanger the safety of that public space. You don't have a constitutional right to do that. If that's something you want to do in your own home and you want to stay home and do what you want to do and infect everybody that you want to infect, but come on, guys, do you really want to be the one to infect somebody's child? Remember, America's children under 12 cannot be vaccinated because the vaccines haven't even been approved or even fully tested on children. So are we really putting our kids at risk because what Ron DeSantis said, he wanted to see their smiling faces? You know what your kid's smile look like? Hell, their smiles are going to be changing anyway as their teeth fall out. But guess what? My tooth was chipped on while they were doing a procedure. You want your child tooth possibly chipped while they stick a ventilator down their throat? Tubes down their throat to breathe? Just so you could say, well, at least that's my child's smiling face? You know how sad it is to see a kid who can't breathe and put a child on a ventilator? And you're sitting there playing Russian roulette with not just your health, but anyone else's health? I mean, if this was a disease that was only communicable, you know, by blood or blood transmission, okay, masks may be overdoing it, right? But we're talking an aerosolized respiratory disease that's in our communities. It's out there. And unvaccinated people are bearing the brunt. That's just the statistic. Yeah, vaccinated people are getting it too. They told us that would happen. I was vaccinated for the mumps. I still got the mumps as a child. Nothing's 100%. But you don't say, well, I could get it either way, so screw it. No. You get your vaccination and you move on with your life. So, you know, I'm glad that I converted one. I'm actually thinking about printing up some conversion t-shirts, you know, for the cause, for you guys, to thank you guys for your support and to preach the gospel of the vaccine out there. because the vaccine is helping people. It's not hurting people. Well, it's doing more, you know, good than harm. And that's exactly what we want. When people say, well, people die from vaccines. Well, people are dying even more of COVID. And the fact that you have to keep reiterating such something that should be so obvious just shows you the state of division and lack of education that we have all over the country, guys. So, I mean, it's just unreal how the ancient strain of COVID, or that first strain of COVID, didn't really have much an effect on children, but the Delta variant is really raging. And these kids are getting so sick. As one pulmonologist said, their lungs are wrecked. And as an asthmatic, I know what that's like to not be able to breathe. And it's very hard. And you start to think like, okay, well, you know, we're starting to see a lot of this in the South. But what about where in places in America where the vaccination rates are high? And if you go to Vermont, vaccination is almost at 80%, 83%, something around there. If I have those numbers wrong, I'll correct it. But the vaccination rates in Vermont are very, very high. And their lives have return to normal. Okay, here it says in Vermont, 76% of the state has received at least one dose. It is currently the most, 68% has been, so 76% have received one dose, 68% is fully vaccinated, making Vermont the most vaccinated state in the country. And they've pretty much returned back to normal life, guys. I mean, just let that sink in. And then for those who don't want the vaccine in the South and in parts of the Midwest, you got places like Kenya who are begging for these vaccines, and they cannot get them because, as usual, first world countries snap up all of these vaccines. And, you know, and then we have a group of people who can get it, but they just refuse to when people all over the world are still dying in large numbers. I mean, you guys, after you listen to me, why don't you go and Google what's going on in Brazil, how Brazil and the president there was giving out so much misinformation about vaccines. And now things are finally turning around, but it's turning around without his help. As more people start to realize, like, hey, this people are dying. I mean, Brazil has the second highest death rate behind the United States. So we don't want that. We want you guys to get vaccinated. We want you guys to do the right thing. Go get the vaccine. If you're on the fence, go get the vaccine. If you don't want the vaccine, then go get the vaccine. You can complain about it to whoever you want later, but you'll be vaccinated. And one more vaccinated person is one less person that virus can mutate and change into something that could be a slate wiper. You know, I mean, we're on the cusp of this. And, you know, if humanity ends because we were too silly to save ourselves, what will people, I mean, if, well, if humanity ends, no one be able to say anything, but I mean, we would say, hey, well, we were the first idiots that were able to save ourselves, unlike those in during the Black Death and the plague and all of these things. But we had the means to save ourselves. We just were too ignorant to lift a finger to do so. So I urge you guys to go get vaccinated. Try to convert at least one. Convert one. You know, let's even let that be our hashtag. Convert. Hashtag convert one. And, you know, let's get it out there to friend and family member. You know, schedule a vaccination form. Do whatever it is you have to do. Trick them into it. Whatever you have to do, get your friends and family and loved ones vaccinated. Okay, they may be a pain in the butt today, but they'll be alive to be a pain in the butt tomorrow. We've lost a lot of good people. And a lot of those people that were so against vaccines, they weren't bad people. They were just misinformed. They were misinformed and led down a path by people that they trusted. And that's some of these government officials that are celebrating people not getting vaccinated while some of those people are vaccinated. So I'm going to hop off my soapbox for the day. I have to reserve my strength. But you guys, I've missed you and I've been thinking of you, and I'm going to put out as many episodes as I can, as long as I can, and know that we're still going strong here at the Mad Chronically Ill Girl podcast. I thank you guys for the support. I thank you guys for tuning in and listening. Please support us on Patreon or send us a shout out on Twitter and Facebook. And with that, I am the Mad Chronically Ill Girl, and I'm out of here. I'm about to go get another shot, so maybe you guys tune in to me for Patreon for some of my subscribers, and I will videotape my third booster shot for you, okay? Talk to you guys later. Bye.